Don't be a bigger pot. You got to ante up a little. You know what ante up means? See, you know more than you think you do. Amen. Just put more in the pot. Put a little in the kitty there. A little more in the kitty. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? I was going to teach you a little on Thanksgiving and the importance of Thanksgiving. What are we thankful for? You know, we forget to be thankful. I was reading, been studying the book of Revelations. I've read Revelations quite a few times. Never really studied it word for word to be able to teach it, like expound on it like you need to. I'm studying it word for word and getting to where I can teach it, maybe on a Sunday night or a Friday night or something. Well, one of the things I was reading, I think yesterday, studying yesterday, if you don't have anything to be thankful for, there's coming a day and it's going to be soon. Now, there's going to be a rapture of the church. That means God's people, the overcoming part of the church, the ones who are looking for his coming, who are busy, who are occupying, they will go in the rapture. Now, I don't think everybody that's in the church, supposed to be in the church, are going in the first load. I don't think lukewarm, half-hearted Christians who are not really serving the Lord, who've not really made their mind up yet if they want to go to church, if they want to serve the Lord, or they'd rather serve the world, or they'd rather be part of the world, or they'd rather straddle a fence and all that, I am not sure if they're going in the rapture. They'll probably have a chance during the tribulation to really decide who they're going to serve. Now, I may be wrong. I hope I am. You know, I have changed my mind on a few things. The more you study the Word. You know, but why does the Bible keep saying, to those who overcome? To those who overcome. He tells us to overcome, to pray that you be worthy to escape these things, be looking up, those who are diligent, those who are working, those who are in the church, those who are serving. Some people, you know, those who work hard or diligent and serving and doing, you can't tell me that the people who don't are going to get the same thing. They won't. They won't. I know there is a scripture or a parable that says, you know, some went out and worked the first, some went out and worked the last, but these workers, they were working in the field. They wasn't in the shade, or they wasn't out to the store drinking Cokes, eating moon pies. They were working. And so, if that's true, if all the church is not, there's going to be some difficult times ahead. Let me just read you a couple things that you better be thankful for. You're a Friday night crowd. You're a diligent crowd. We serve the Lord. We pay the price. We overcome. What do we overcome? We overcome our flesh. We overcome the world. We overcome the temptations. We don't serve the world and act like we're serving Jesus, you know. He said, your lips praise me, but your heart's far from me. And people who, you know, some people never made their mind up. They say they're a Christian, but they don't live like it. They're not overcomers. They're not overcome anything. What have they overcome? Nothing, you know. So if we're raptured, which we will be, some people think we're going to go in the middle. That's all right. Some people think we're going at the end. That's all right. We go up. I'll tell you all of them. I told you so. But it doesn't matter, you know. About the rapture, it's a sovereign act of God. Don't matter what you believe, just be working for the Lord diligently, look for His coming, and He'll take care of it all. Amen. But here's a couple of things I want you to look in Revelation chapter 6. This is a couple of things you need to be thankful for. If we're diligent, we're serving the Lord. Listen, it'll pay off. It'll pay off. You just stay with it. You keep working. You keep going to church. You keep going, overcoming. Keep the gossip out of your life. Keep the strife and contention and backbiting and all that. All these people, you know, and backbiter, liar, and all these things, you know, I'd get straight if I could real fast. I'd stay clean. I'd keep looking up and get my life straight. You say, well, I believe you can go in. Well, good. Well, but if, you know, if not, I'd rather just, I don't want to take any chances. Hey, man, I don't want to be here. What's coming on the earth. Bible says, pray that you'd escape all these things. You know, these are for the overcomers to escape all these things. But here in the sixth chapter of Revelation, it says, let me see. Where am I reading? Where you want to read at? Verse 8. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death. Hell followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger and death, and by the beast of the earth. Famine and sword and death and wild animals will kill a fourth of the world's population. Wow. A fourth. And it says over in the ninth chapter of Revelation, look at this one. Verse 1. Then the fifth angel shouted, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. There is a pit in the center of the earth that has no bottom to it. Now that's something, isn't it? Figure that out. That doesn't have a bottom. And this angel that came had the key to this bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, so that the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke from the pit. Then out of that smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power as a scorpion of the earth that has power, like a scorpion on the earth. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or the green things or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their forehead. Now that's 144,000 evangelists, Jewish evangelists, if you read back to this, we'll get into that now, who God has sealed to preach the gospel, and these things won't hurt them. Now, they're saved during the tribulation, these people are. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Now, this is everybody else. They were not given power to kill them, but to torment man for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and not find it. They will desire to die, but death will not come to them. Now, this is coming. If you're not born again, you know, the rapture, I believe, take place any minute. Take the church out. And people are not born again, this is what's going to happen to you. These things are coming. other people don't go on the right. These half-hearted Christians who don't want to live right, don't want to go to church, don't want to serve the Lord, don't want to be involved, say, well, I can live like the devil and still get all the benefits. I don't want to try it. These scorpions are given 5 months to torment man. Now notice, the shape of the locusts, or these were demons, what they were, was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns something like gold. And their face was like the face of a man. They had hair like the hair of a woman. And their teeth were like the lion's teeth. These were literal. This is literal. This is not a symbol or symbolic. This is literal. This is what they look like. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions. And their stings, and they were stings in their tails. The power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as a king over them, an angel from the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew was Abaddon, but in the Greek his name was Apollyon. This was a big chief demon, which means destroyer. One woe is past. Behold, still there are more woes are coming after these things. This is just one of the woes. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the fourth horn of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels which are bound in the great Euphrates River. There's four angels that's been bound in chains because they're judged by God in the Euphrates River, literal Euphrates River, over in Iraq. In that area, it's where these angels are bound at this time. And he said, God told this angel, you release those angels. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year, it's already determined when this is going to happen, were released to kill a third of mankind. Now here's a fourth of mankind killed. And here's a third of mankind. That's over half of the world's population that's left after the rapture that's killed. God is a God of judgment, as well as a loving God. And thus, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. An army. A great army came out of that pit, and I heard the number of them. Some say this is the Chinese army. I don't know. It says here it seems like demon army. And thus I saw the horses in a vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates like fire. What's that word? Hyacinth blue and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of a lion. And out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. This is coming on the earth soon. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. By the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. And their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, now listen to this. All of this happening on the earth. All of this happening on the earth. Now, we think, well, if God would just start judging people and doing things, man would repent. Well, really? But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor talk. These being people, you know, worshiping the world and all the things of the world, wouldn't worship God. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their or being thieves. They still would rather, in the tribulation, all this happening, they would still rather be in their sin. They still wouldn't repent. The heart of man, God said, is wicked above all things. Now, this is literally going to happen. That you can be saved in the tribulation. I've heard people say, well, if they hear things preached out of Revelation, they say, well, I still have a chance. If you're not going to accept Jesus now, well, it's easy. I don't want to be here. I'm not going to be here. This is not reserved for the church. The church is not going to be in this. There's no reason for the church to be here. God has never declared his wrath to be poured out on his bride. He's not an abusive husband. God's not going to say, I'm going to beat the tar out of you, then I'm going to marry you. Some people say, well, that's when the church is purified. I don't think that would purify me. Make me turn against God. God do that to me, I ain't marrying him. Would you? He's a good husband. Going to be a good husband. Well, one thing I'm thankful for is I don't have to be here. One thing I'm thankful for, there's many things I'm thankful for, I don't have to be here. I can be thankful every day and serve the Lord with gladness. Go to the house of God every time I get an opportunity and worship Him and praise Him and thank God. I won't be here. Lord, Bible says, just come on, Lord. You know, just look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Anyway, Lord, just come on. Praise the Lord. So be it, God. Come on. We're ready. See, we're watching. We're looking up. We're waiting for Him. But I'm telling you, there's some things coming on the earth. You see, God is a loving God. The last dispensation before the dispensation you and I are living in is a dispensation of grace, meaning God's goodness. God said, I'm going to love the people so much and give them so much and bless them so much that the goodness of God leads to repentance and man will see my goodness. They'll hear what Jesus did and how he shed his blood and how he died on the cross and man will repent. And I'm going to have a season, we've had over 2,000 years of it so far, of the grace of God. And God said, I'm going to give the world my grace, and I'm going to show them my grace, and I'm going to show them my goodness before I pour out my judgment. They will know my grace. They will know that I'm a good God. They will know I love them. They will know. And if they reject that, and if they reject the grace, and if they reject the love, and if they reject the goodness, then so be it. See, God has watched everything that's went on the earth since day one. He's watched it going all the way back to where Cain slew his brother. First murderer. Started it then. He marked it then. He's watched every bit of abuse. He's watched every child molester. He's watched every government. He's watched everybody that's hurt people, everybody that's destroyed people, everybody that's upset people, everybody that's ever done anything, everybody's ever cheated you, did things for you, wrong to you. He marks it all down. Like he said with the Amorites. You know, when their cup of wrath, his wrath was full, then he judged them. So God has waited all the dispensation, all these years, watching the earth. And there'll be a season of 7 years, 3.5 really bad. It'll be really bad for 3.5 years of the judgment of God on the earth. And that's what that will be. And so, thank God, I'm going to miss it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, look with me in Romans chapter 1. I thought you might like to see what you're missing. Thank God I'm going to miss that. That's just a couple of little things that's in Revelation there. There's some bad stuff. Men crying to die and can't die. That's bad. In one scripture there, they said that they screamed and cried and tried to hide from the face of God. There'll be a period of time during that time that the world will see the throne of God. They'll see God. And men will try to hide themselves from his face. And they can't hide. Got a lot of stuff going. Angels flying through the air preaching. Going through the air and all that stuff. Me and you be up there eating supper. Called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Romans chapter 1, we'll look. Paul said, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Thank God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by that faith. It's revealed. Faith is revealed. Amen? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, the wrath of God. That's his anger. That's one of the things we're talking about. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We have people today who are trying to suppress the truth. We even have a government now. Parts of it, not all of it, but parts of it, people, parts of the government who want to suppress what you and I preach. They even suppress the churches through this tax thing, you know, that they say if we preach certain ways or say certain things, they'll take our tax exemption away. That's suppressing the truth. That keeps us from getting involved in politics. That keeps the church out of politics, or the church preaching to the people who to vote for or who not to vote for, or to preach to the people and say, that guy is unrighteous. That guy is not good. Don't vote. That's what the early fathers of the faith did. Back in the 1700s, 1800s, you can get some of the sermons from back in the day, and they were hard against politicians. I mean, they preached the wrath of God on them. And they would tell the people, don't you vote for these people. And the church was very strong in electing people and keeping people, the right people, in office. So our government, I think, wasn't it Lyndon Johnson that come up with that thing to suppress the church where politics were concerned? And they said, we will give you tax exempt, but you can't preach politics. You can't mention any candidate. You can't mention, or we'll take it away from you. And so all the pastors in America is afraid to say certain things because we'll lose our tax exempt. Well, they can't shut us up from preaching. They just won't give us our tax credit. I'd hate to stand before God and know that I didn't say what he wanted me to say because I'd lose my tax credit. Or I'd say, God, I was going to preach about that, but you know they wouldn't let me. Well, you know. And that's good to a point, because everybody, preachers don't nowadays, you know, we'd have all kind of preaching, you know, against every politician and all that. So it's better probably not to fool with it. Just preach the word and say, judge this politician by this word, is what you do. Abortion's wrong. God hates it. So don't vote for a candidate that's for abortion. That's simple, it. And you can judge based on the word then. You make your own mind up. Then you're responsible. For since the creation, let's see, suppress the truth. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without with excuse. So nobody will have an excuse when they stand before God. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became vain, empty in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now, what caused these people to be fools? Notice, they didn't glorify him as God and wasn't thankful. Two things. They quit honoring him and glorifying him as the God of creation, as the God, our creator, and wasn't thankful. Now that tells us the importance there of being thankful. Of all the things that could have been said, God said they wasn't thankful. They quit thanking me, you know, and I've said this for a long time. What you quit being thankful for, you lose. It's very important to be thankful. Paul told in Thessalonians said, in all things, be thankful. Thanksgiving. Always be thankful. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4:8. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be nervous. Don't be worrying. Don't be upset. But with prayer, pray and be thankful. And that tells me prayer alone won't help you. Just praying won't do it. In other words, your prayer won't work if you don't mix it with thanksgiving. You have to mix it with thanksgiving. You have to have a certain balance of thanksgiving with everything you do before God. Enter his courts with what? Thanksgiving. Enter his gates with praise, into his courts with thanksgiving. Isn't that the way that goes? Or I got it backwards? Anyway, that's how you get there. Thanksgiving. You got to be thankful. All through the Bible. If you see the people who got an answer to prayer, got a miracle, they were thanking God. There was Miriam, there was Moses, there was David, there was Hannah, there was Daniel. All the people in big trouble, Jehoshaphat, they were giving thanksgiving to God. Paul and Silas at midnight hour, at a critical time in their life, they were thanking God. Praise, prayer and praise and thanksgiving to God. We have to be careful. We'll go all day and not thank the Lord one time. You'll go all day and won't even say thank you one time. And the next thing you know, we let it slip away and we come in this place and we forget to be thankful. We stop thanking God for America. We stop thanking God for our freedom. We stop thanking God for our privileges. We stop thanking God for our great country in America. And you see where we're at. Wonder what happened if really on Thanksgiving Day everybody was thankful to God. If people were thankful to God on Thanksgiving Day and they stopped and spent that day thanking God, wonder what would happen in this nation. Genuine, real thanksgiving. It's a form. Probably don't even thank God. Maybe when we pray, thank you, Lord, for this food. That's about what we'll do. But thanksgiving, it's a spirit, it's power, it's something more than a word here. It's deeper than that. God says it's so important they lost their standing with me as a people or as a nation or as a country because they forgot to be thankful. Wow. Nor were they thankful. They're professing to be wise, they became fools. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 28. You know this scripture, but we have to look at it. God told the children of Israel, this is Abrahamic covenant of blessing. Verse 1 through 15, or 14, is the blessing. And he says in verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey my voice, to observe carefully all my commandments and all my laws, which I've commanded you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now, we've been redeemed from the curse. And we've been given the blessings. Now, thank God, but the curse is still there. Did you know the curse is still in the earth? Curse still on earth. We've been redeemed from it. That means we've in a place that it doesn't affect us. But if we get out of that place, wonder what happened. The curse is still here. The curse of sickness, curse of poverty, curse of disease, and all these curses at least is still here. How do I know? Go up to the hospital. Go over to the nursing home. Tells me the curse is still here. It's not been lifted. It's still here. People still get sick. People still in poverty and lack and all these things. We've been redeemed from it. That's why we have to possess our blessings constantly. And we have to hold on to them and make the devil leave us alone and make him turn our blessing loose and demand our blessings and fight for our blessings and resist the curse. You foul curse, you're not coming on me. I'm redeemed from it. You have no authority in my house. Amen? And he lists a whole bunch of curses here in verse 46, and they shall be upon you as a sign and a wonder and over all your children forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. For the abundance of everything. One translation says, nor were you thankful. Nor were you thankful. That's how they lost it. Because he said, remember? He told them, he said, now when you get over in the land and you're living in big houses and drinking out of deep wells, eating good food, don't forget me. Well, how did they forget him? What you quit taking time to thank God for, you forget. You forget. Remember the 10 lepers Jesus healed? One of them came back to thank him. Where were the 9, he said? Well, why didn't they come back? They forgot. They were so busy running in their healing. They didn't come back and thank him. And he was the only one that was made whole. Meaning he got his money back, got his life back, he got everything he'd lost back. The others were just healed. The power of thanksgiving. Being thankful. You know, it's very rare. You don't get many people today in anything to say thank you. They don't say thank you. And another thing ticks me off, people don't say you're welcome. Nobody says you're welcome. What you know what they says? No problem. No problem. Where'd that come from, you know? Nobody says you're welcome. I'm old school, you know. They say no problem. Everybody says that. Try it. Say thank you, and they'll say no problem. Well, I didn't think it was a problem. I didn't ask if it was a problem. I said, thank you. All the waiters and waitresses, they'll say that. No problem. Well, sorry that was a problem that you weighed on me. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made by incorruptible man. And they began, and the birds and the four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanliness. Anytime you see uncleanliness in the Bible or unclean spirit, it is a sexual perversion. And he goes on to say what uncleanliness was and the lust of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. What reason? For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for another man. Men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of their error, which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, he gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are unfitting. How do I know that America is not thankful? Read that. That is America. That is the society you and I are living in. And God says all of that come about because of two things. They quit honoring me as God and quit being thankful. And that came to their house. Because they were not thankful. For this reason, God gave them up. Wow, I don't want God to even think about giving me up. Well, he won't. But I'm going to be thankful. You know what one of the reasons people are not thankful? Our society today, if somebody gives me something and I'm humble, humility causes you to say thank you. If I think I'm deserving of what you did for me and you owe me, and it you are supposed to give to me, then I won't say thank you, because you're not doing anything for me. You're not doing anything for me. You owe me anyway. Why should I be thankful? Humility is thankful. Pride doesn't thank you. And we have a society who thinks that everybody owes them something. The entitled generation. They want everything free now. Free college, free cars, free houses, free everything. That's why they're not thankful. They're not thankful because this is what's happening to the generation behind me. The generation behind me, the generation before me did not have any of these problems. The generation that I came up in, it started happening at the tail end of our generation, my generation, and it's happening in the generation behind me. All of these things are. Why? Tells me they're not thankful. We're living in an unthankful society in America. America has quit being thankful to God. And he said, because of that, I gave them up. God didn't bring anything on them. God didn't curse them. God didn't do it. He just gave them up. And when he gives them up, what's going to happen? They have a debased mind, a defiled mind, an empty brain. Our government's like that. They don't want God, and so they're empty. They're defiled. They can't even make a good decision. Instead of working on something to help the people, for 3 years they've been trying to impeach the president. What's wrong with our government? They're not thankful. Sure, we got good people up there that have prayer meetings, Bible studies, pray, doing things, and thanking God. That's the only thing holding our nation together, is those people. But the other people, God gave them up. God's serious. You said, well, what's going to happen? Well, just follow. Unless we wake up and turn back to being thankful, being humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What's being humble? We reach out a hand with gratitude. I don't deserve anything, Lord. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve prosperity. I don't deserve health. I don't deserve you blessing me. I don't deserve anything, Lord. Everything I've got, it's your grace that's given to me, and I am so grateful. I am so grateful, God. He said, well, if you're grateful and if you're full of thanksgiving, he told him, and Malachi told the priest, why have you forgotten me? Why have you given me up? Why have you forsaken me? And he told him, he said, you need to return to me. They said, how can we return to you? He said, you go to church and pay tithes. That's what he said. That's how you get back to God. You go to church. That's one of the things being thankful. He said, there is a place that I'll establish. You go there. Every time that you establish a time to have a service and all my people gather and they thank me and they grateful to me, and by showing our thanksgiving, we sing songs to him and we give our praise to him and we worship him and we obey his word and we bring our tithes and we get laid at the altar and we say, thank you, Heavenly Father. I remember a time that I was in Egypt. And I was bound, and I was broke, and I was in poverty, and I was on my way to hell. But you delivered me, and you brought me out. And I thank you, Lord, and this is my offering to you. You're supposed to do that, and if you do that, the curse will not come to your house, won't take you. If it does, I mean, you know, the devil tries to sneak in. We're living under a cursed earth. God helps us. He helps us. He won't leave us. And we have a sound mind. Dear God, that's important today and hour we're living in. Have a sound mind. To be sound. Have a sound mind to think straight. Not be a debased mind, empty brain. Some of these kids, you ever see this guy on TV goes out in the street and asks these kids about American history? College students, dumb. I mean, how do you go to school and be that dumb? Because they don't teach anything. All they teach in colleges is liberalism. The rest of the world is passing us by leaps and bounds for academics. India, I mean, is they living under that old dumb gods over there? But the kids and people are smart. Yeah, they are. hard workers, smart. America, see? Just that one thing, being grateful. Have a grateful heart. Thanking God. Amen? Gave them a debased person and filled them with unrighteous, 29. Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, and they are backbiters, whisperers, gossipers, haters of God. You know you're living in a society where there are a lot of people who hate God. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. God will see to it it happens. Now notice this. Not only do the same, but those who approve of those who practice them. Those who approve of those who practice them. That's why it's dangerous. You got to be very careful who you vote for. Got to be very careful, even who you vote for. Now look with me. You know where Leviticus is? Leviticus is over in chapter 7 of Leviticus. Leviticus is. Penny don't have a Bible. She can't. Go to Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. Chapter 7. Amen. Now, let's see. In verse 11, I want to show you this is the law. Are you there? Yeah. You can read it. You're not there. On the board. All of a sudden, it appeared on the board. A finger that wrote. That happened one time to a backslidden king. But that's a different time. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. They had all kind of different offerings where you could offer to God, sacrifices to God, where our sacrifice now is made through Jesus Christ, our high priest. We make all of our sacrifices to him. Hebrews 13 says we offer to him the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving with our mouth, with our lips. But here they had to do their offerings through a animal sacrifice or different sacrifices or things. And they had a offering here called the peace offering. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for a thanksgiving. Now notice, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cake mixed with oil, unleavened wafer. It tells you how to do it. Now notice what he's saying here. He's saying that if you bring an offering here with thanksgiving, it'll bring you peace. It produces peace. Thanksgiving, in the Old Testament, he said this offering will bring it be a peace offering. It will make peace. You'll have peace. Wow. That's exactly what Philippians says. Four. Up Philippians 4 up. Amen. Same thing. Philippians says, and the peace of God, verse 7, RSV 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known of God, and the peace of God, which pass all understanding, will guard your heart. Now notice, he said to pray with thanksgiving. And he's talking about you offer thanksgiving and it will give you peace in your heart. Thanksgiving will bring peace. If you don't thank God, then you'll be depressed and discouraged. It produces in your mind, becomes empty, becomes void of God, your God thoughts, God energy in your brain, and next thing you know, you're depressed or discouraged. But thanksgiving to God will bring you peace in your mind. You can't go around praising God for long and be discouraged. And thanking God. Thank you, Lord. I'll go around all day just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'll see, you know, pass by my truck. Thank you, Lord, for my truck. Thank you, Lord, for my house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you know, for good wood stove. Thank you, Lord, it's warm in the house. I remember a time it wasn't warm. I remember a time, Lord, you put the milk in the refrigerator to keep it freezing. That's the truth. You forgot the milk sitting out on the counter as hard as a rock. You got up next morning. Froze hard as a bullet. That's cold. None of you ever experienced that. I have. Cold. Half my quilts on the bed, you couldn't turn over. You get your warm spot. Thank God you wouldn't want to move out of it. Thank you, Lord, for a warm house. I remember a time, Lord, I didn't have a warm house. Thank you, Lord, for a good car. I remember a time I didn't have a good car, Lord. I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. See, where depression comes from, you think about all the things you don't have and all the things you're lacking and all the things somebody else has got that you don't have, and somebody else is this, somebody else is that, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm... No, get your mind off yourself and start thanking God. You can't be depressed. It brings you peace. The Bible declares it does. Peace. Hallelujah. I don't want to lose what I've got. You quit being thankful, you'll lose it. And the way to get it is thank God for it. You have to have a certain level of thanksgiving. A lady was praying one time. I think a pastor is a pastor, and he's praying. And he'd been praying and praying, praying for some things, and wasn't getting it. He was over at his church and walking the floor and praying. And the Lord gave him a vision and showed him a set of scales. And that set of scales, one side was prayer, and the other side was thanksgiving and praise, and it was like this. The prayer was here, and this, he said, now when that levels out, you'll get your answer. And actually, that's scriptural. With thanksgiving. All he was doing was asking. And his asking and praying was way down here, heavy on the scales. And he began to praise the Lord and thank him for what he had and all the goodness of God. And it balanced out, his prayer got answered. It's not much effort saying thank you to anybody. It helps you. You go in somewhere, and it's real tense or tight. You know, I've done this going through the airport or going anywhere. And, you know, the person waiting on you is just stressed out, and everybody giving them a hard time. And you can just walk up there and say, I just want to thank you for being nice and working here and putting up with it. I just want to thank you. I mean, it's powerful. Very powerful. You see, I try a lot of ways here in the church to thank people for what they do, for how they help me. Being, you know, I try to thank them. Send them a card and give them some things, you know, want somebody. I just want to thank you. That goes a long way, or it should. And if people should thank me for that. Now, you watch it. And if they quit being thankful to me, they'll get an attitude. Then they don't appreciate me. Then they don't appreciate the church. And they don't appreciate what's going on. And they're not thankful. And what I'm doing to try to help them, it's not working because they are not thankful. It takes two. If God's doing everything he can and you're not thankful, there's no need giving you anything else. No need sending you a card. No need fooling with you anymore. Are you out there going home? Thanksgiving. More than a turkey. More than a family day. Thanksgiving should be an attitude of our heart, grateful, with gratitude unto our God. And it shouldn't be one day. It should be every day, every hour, every minute. You practice that. Just go around thanking God for things. If you and your wife get in a fight, say, "Thank you, Lord, for my wife." Yeah. Then just go up to her and say, "I just want to thank you for being a good wife." She'll faint when she comes to. When she comes to, she'll say, "What's wrong with you?" And you're not mad anymore, and you don't have an attitude. You don't want to fight. That's the truth. Try it. Double dog dare you. So I just want to thank you. It takes everything in you. If you're mad and want to fight and say, "Dadgum her, I ain't saying nothing. I'm mad at her. It's her fault, Lord. I ain't speaking. I'm not speaking to her no more for 2 days. See, you have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and lose everything to say thank you, even if it's her fault. Say thank you. Amen. It's amazing what that word does. God's smarter than all every one of us. Hallelujah, what a good God. That's all I got. Ain't got no more. Thank you. On that day. On that day, David first delivered his psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Now this is, so David brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that he had built for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering all the offerings, he blessed the Lord. And he distributed to every man and woman, everyone, a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark to commemorate, to thank and praise the Lord. And he set up these singers and musicians and these people that would run. The whole purpose of the ark, or the tabernacle that David built for the ark, the whole purpose of it, he set it out in front of everybody. Before then, only the high priest could go in once a year in the Holy of Holies and see the ark. Anybody else went in and fell over dead. But David brought it back and set it out in the open in front of everybody. And he appointed all these people, and he said, "Here's what we're going to do before the ark," which the ark is out there in front of the church there on that table. That's what it looked like, only a lot bigger. And it contained the presence of God. It contained the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod, and some manna. And to represent the law and God's presence. And he said, "This is the presence of God." And God's presence dwelled in that box. And David said, "The whole reason, what we're going to do here, 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we're going to sing and thank God all the time. That's all we're going to do, is just thank him." And God said in the Bible, he said, "I will restore the tabernacle of David." And here's one of the Psalms. And David wrote a psalm and handed it to Asaph. And he said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon his name and make known his glorious deeds and his wondrous works." And he wrote a whole long song, psalm. There is a song. And he said, and the name of it was give thanks to the Lord. That's all he did. And he said, I want you guys to write songs to thank God. And when somebody prophesies and sings a song, you write it down and put music to it, and we're going to thank the Lord. That's all they did. Now, we come to church, praise and worship, David's tabernacle, and everything David started, the book of Psalms, and his type of worship carried over into where you and I are today. God never changed that. So here we come to church. And David said, here's what you do in. He said, you praise him on the string instruments, flute instruments, percussion instruments. You praise him in the dance. Praise him by lifting your hands. Praise him in all that. And that's what they did. What a time they had in that tent. Can you imagine that? So here we come to church now. The redeemed of the Lord. David hadn't been born again like we are. He had it on him. The Bible says the Old Testament saints long for the day you and I live in. They had a covenant, but the Bible says we have a far greater covenant. We have all the benefits of God, have all the presence of God, and have God Himself and the Holy Spirit sealed. And here we come to church. All right, everybody stand up. We're going to raise your hands. We're going to praise the Lord now. Too hot in here. Too cold in here. Too loud in here. Somebody got my seat. And we don't know how to. Are you out there? You going home? Not jumping on you. Not talking just about you, but look across the body of Christ and every church. Every church. It's either real formalistic. You know, where they run around and wave stuff, throw stuff, do stuff. No, nobody praises like David. Every once in a while we'll break out. Well, you know, if nothing else, we can come in our own way. In our own way. God wants to hear our voice. He wants to hear your, in our own way. Maybe you don't like to dance. Maybe you don't like to jump. Maybe you don't like to roll. Maybe you don't like to run. Well, you don't do it. But in your own way, out of your heart of gratitude, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Stand up with me. Amen. Don't lose that gratitude. Don't lose it. Don't lose it for nothing. Don't you let the devil steal it. Just go around looking at everything you got. Lord, I just want to thank you for that chair. I made a habit of it. I was going from room to room sometimes. Lord, I just want to thank you. Thank you for my truck, Lord. Thank you for a good truck. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for everything. Thank you for a good church, Lord. Thank you for good people. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We refuse to lose our gratitude. Our heart is fixed on you, O God. With a heart of thanksgiving and praise, we will sing to you. With a heart of thanksgiving and praise, we will rejoice. We're glad we're saved, glad we're born again, glad we don't have to go through the tribulation. We'll never see what I read about, Lord. We'll never see that. Lord, we won't ever see those old locusts, and we won't ever see that. We won't see it. We are special people. You're redeemed. You're called out ones. Your church. You've granted us privileges beyond what mortal man has. What honor it is to be called the sons of the living God. And we praise you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want to pray for you. Bow your head. Make sure if anybody in here that don't know the Lord, not ready to go, think you might go through the tribulation or not born again, we want to pray for you. Make sure you're on your way to heaven. If you want to get saved and raise your hand where you're at, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Give you opportunity to be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Well, we're going to pray anyway. Father, we want to thank you. Father, if there's anybody in here under the sound of my voice, we mark them now for the glory of God. We mark them now for the work of God. We call them out in Jesus' name. We rebuke Satan off of them. We rebuke Satan from blinding their eyes to the gospel, and we declare by the name of Jesus Christ they will be born again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been meaning to do that. I'm going to take a service here probably next week or two and teach all of you how to lead somebody to the Lord. I'm amazed, you know, because we're going to have a lot of opportunities next year. Lead people to the Lord. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. You dismiss me.